I'm going to talk about the spiritual gifts, and we if you remember, it's God's supernatural power that we all have access to because we are believers in Christ, especially being baptized in the Holy Spirit. And they're not, we have access to all of them to demonstrate who he is to people and his heart, not just his power, but also his heart towards people. And so last week I talked about word of wisdom, which is kind of a practical insight that the Holy Spirit gives you for a particular situation. It can give you a breakthrough. It can be about a certain behavior, how to handle a situation, but that's the word of wisdom. Word of knowledge is when you know something about somebody that you wouldn't know. God knows, but you wouldn't know. Okay, so for example, that man, me seeing like a wife and children with him, that would be a word of knowledge. In other words, God was saying, listen, I see him as married with children. That would be a word of knowledge that I had and I could share with him. Okay, or it can be something that you know somebody's, you know, you know their family, you know their parents, which you wouldn't know then in the natural. You can know their street address. God can give you really incredible details about people that you wouldn't know. And that's called a word of knowledge. And of course, the gift of discernment, which is being able to discern whether something is the Holy Spirit, whether it's demonic, or whether it's just the human spirit. So those were the three things I talked about last week. So today I'm going to talk about the other six gifts. First of all, we're going to talk about power gifts. So power gifts are when a gift that's operating and it just shows, it demonstrates God's power over sickness, disease, death, circumstances. It demonstrates his power in the earth includes casting out demons. And the first of the three power gifts is the gift of faith. So, and it's in 1 Corinthians 12:9. It says, to another faith by the same spirit. So this is like an unshakable conviction that God is going to do something. You know, we all have been given the measure of faith, Scripture says, as believers in Christ. We've all been given the measure of faith. And it's Romans 10 says, faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. So we've been given the measure of faith, but in our journey with the Lord, we learn more and more how to operate in that faith. For example, it's like a muscle that was kind of latent, but we get it, and then we start learning how to operate in that faith, okay? That's just the faith that all of us have. But the gift of faith is like a supernatural faith that comes in where you just, God gives you a witness that he is going to do something, and there is no one can talk you out of it because you just absolutely know that it's going to happen. A lot of times it's accompanied by a prophetic word or a word of knowledge. For example, if God gives you the name of somebody and tells you that they have like a metal pin in their leg, okay, and he gives you their name, and so during the day, all of a sudden you meet this person and you're talking, and the guy says, "Oh, I have a metal pin in my leg." Well, you know that God didn't show you that just to confirm that. He showed you that because he wants to turn that metal into bone. Right? That's why he showed you that. So a lot of times the gift of faith will come from like a word of knowledge or a prophetic word because you know God showed you something for the purposes of saying, this is what I'm going to do. Okay? So that's the gift of faith. Mark 11:22-23, Jesus said, he said to the disciples, have faith in God. Actually, that would be more accurately translated, have the faith of God. Have the faith of God. For assuredly I say to you, whoever says this mountain be removed and be cast into the sea and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that those things he says will be done, he will have whatever he says. So that's the faith. Like, again, you just know that you know that you know that God is going to do what he's going to do. This gift, when it's operating, tends to create an atmosphere for the miraculous to happen. When someone's operating in the gift of faith in a room, it just creates this atmosphere that really allows the miraculous to happen. And that's kind of, I realized one day we were at a conference, and the speaker kept saying, I'm not worried about your faith. I have faith in God. It was really wonderful because it took you, because he was a healing service. And so many times people who are looking for healing get all wrapped up in, do I have enough faith? And he kept taking you out of that. He kept saying, I don't care about your faith. Let go of that. I have faith in God. That's who we're looking at now. God's, we know God's nature, his character. He wants to heal you. Stop looking at your own faith. And that, like I said, that's kind of like a gift of faith that's operating in the room, trying to get you to get your eyes off of you and onto God. And like I said, it really supports an atmosphere for the miraculous. The other is the gifts of healing. In 1 Corinthians 12:9, it says to another, gifts of healing by the same Spirit. Notice it's gifts, plural. And part of the reason is because it's talking about not just physical healing, but it's also talking about mental, emotional, spiritual healing, because God is interested in the whole person. He's interested in healing spirit, soul, and body. He's interested in healing all of you. So the gift of healing is his supernatural ability coming in to bring people health. And of course, this is nothing that depends on us. Like, I don't have the ability to heal a flea, right? We in our natural selves, we don't have that ability. And this is why it demonstrates to people our God. And the beautiful thing about healing is it demonstrates not only his power, but it demonstrates his heart. Because the reality of the kingdom of God is there is no sickness and disease in the kingdom of God. There should be no sickness or disease in this room, right? Because the kingdom is here. And that is our goal, is that all of us walk in divine health. And we've gotten that word multiple times for this church family, that there'll be no feeble among us. And we're growing into that word. But the kingdom, the reality of the kingdom of God is sickness and disease is not a part of it. So many people have, we consider sickness and disease to be such a natural part of life. And so many people see it that way. And so when we come in introducing the kingdom and the reality of the kingdom, God isn't the one who invented cancer. God isn't the one who made allergies. God isn't the one who created all sickness and disease. That came in as a result of the fall. And so we bring the kingdom in to show them not only the power of God to heal, but the nature and character of our God, which is health and wholeness for everybody. And so that's what we do, is we operate in that gift. If we look, we know it's not our ability. Colossians 1:29, Paul says, to this end I also labor, striving according to his working, which works in me mightily. So when we're operating in all of the gifts, it's him in us that's operating. You know, when Jesus was walking the earth, that was one of the major things that he demonstrated was healing. Luke 9:2. He sent disciples to preach the kingdom of God and to heal the sick. Luke 10:8-9, whatever city you enter and they receive you, eat such things as are set before you and heal the sick there and say to them, the kingdom of God has come near to you. And of course, for us, Mark 16, he said to them, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He who believes and is baptized will be saved. But he who does not believe will be condemned, and these signs will follow those who believe. In my name, they will cast out demons. We are to be casting out demons. That's one of the things we're called to. They will speak with new tongues, right? The baptism of the Holy Spirit. They will take up serpents. This is representative of the demonic realm. And if they drink anything deadly, it will by no means hurt them. They will lay hands on the sick, and they will recover. Amen. Now the gifts of healing, so all of us are called to lay hands on the sick and they will recover. There also is a supernatural that God gives where it's a gift of healing that's operating supercharged, whatever. Like it's a gift that comes in and begins operating. And that's a lot of times, if you see that operating in a meeting, it's one of those places where everybody gets healed. A lot of times people who have an evangelistic call operate strongly in the gift of healing. So a lot of times it partners with people who have a strong evangelistic call, of course, because that's what Jesus did. So the thing is every single one of us is called to lay hands on the sick and they will recover, okay? And there's also a supernatural gifts of healing that operates that, like I said, kind of puts an exclamation point on our ability to go ahead and pray for people and bring healing to pass. The third power gift is the working of miracles. And this is in 1 Corinthians 12:10. It says, to another working of miracles. So this is when God uses us to effect a miracle by his divine power. So this would be For example, when I gave the testimony that David Hogan had, where he was going down a line of people, and there was a young girl who was actually under a blanket because she had been so traumatized in her life, and she had no ears, physical ears, and she didn't have anything within her head to be able to hear, okay? She didn't have the mechanisms inside her skull. And he didn't even know it. She was under a blanket. He didn't even know it. He's going down a line, and he just puts his hand under the blanket to bless her. And the power of God hits her. And over the next couple of weeks, the inner ear grew as well as the outer ear. And now she's fully alive. She's a young girl and she's able to completely hear. That's working of miracles. Okay. Healing is like, you know, I have a broken arm and it gets healed. A miracle is I didn't have a leg and it's grown out. Okay. That's the miracle working of our God. The other thing it can be is it can be multiplication of food. You know, we had met a woman who had been out in Mozambique with Heidi Baker's ministry, and the orphans there just love, they don't get fresh fruit very often. And so they had gotten some apples for the children. I think it was apples, some kind of fruit for the children, but there wasn't enough for the number of children that were there. And so they told her, sit down, and they put a bucket next to her with apples in it, and whatever the fruit was, and they said to her, give them to each of the children that come to you, but don't look in the bucket, right? And so what she did is she did. She sat there in the chair as the children came. She reached in and she gave them fruit, and there was enough for all of them, okay? Now, part of the working of miracles is you have to know the nature of your God, because when you're faced with a situation of lack, and yet you know your God is a God of more than enough, you therefore will sit down in the chair with a bucket with not enough fruit in it and feed children in faith so that the miracle can operate. So part of the operating of miracles is really knowing who your God is and what he wants. Another miracle would be the translation. I've heard multiple testimonies of people who a pastor was in Africa, and his plane had been delayed, and he had to be, you know, had a speaking engagement, and it was going to be a 5-hour drive through the desert. Well, and he was supposed to be there in 2 hours or 3 hours or something like that. Well, they just got in the car and started driving and arrived at the place when they were supposed to. So it's like the God just did away with 3 hours worth of driving. All of a sudden, supernaturally, they weren't supposed to be where they're supposed to be. When Daniel Kalenda Sr. was here and he gave a testimony of, I think it was somebody else that he knew, again, this plane arrangements, God isn't hindered by that. The guy needed to be somewhere. He went into the bathroom and came out. He was in the other airport. Right? So that's the working of miracles. Like, God can do that. Like, and that's something that we are all have access to that because we are children of God, because we're seated with him in heavenly places, even though we're here on earth. Okay? And this is where we demonstrate who he is. And of course, casting out demons, right? We can cast out demons. The gifts of speech. So these are the last three gifts. 1 Corinthians 12:10 mentions all of these. It's in addition to some others. It says, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, discerning of spirits, to another different kinds of tongues, to another the interpretation of tongues. And 1 Corinthians 14:26 talks about a lot of the speech things as well. It says, how is it then, brethren, whenever you come together, each of you has a psalm, has a teaching, has a tongue, has a revelation, has an interpretation. Let all things be done for edification. So all of those are different gifts that come under speaking. The first one is prophecy. And so that's a message that's inspired by the Holy Spirit, especially for the upbuilding and encouragement and consolation of the body of Christ. And I mean outside the body as well. This is the only gift that Paul mentions every time he mentions the gifts in the Bible, okay? And this was considered really important to him. He says in 1 Corinthians 14:1, he says, pursue love, desire spiritual gifts. So all these spiritual gifts that we're talking about, all nine of them, we are supposed to desire them. We are all supposed to desire to operate in all of these gifts. You may be stronger in some than another, but he can, if he wants to get a miracle through or a healing through or whatever, and you're there, He can operate in that gift through you. So you're, everybody in this room is qualified. If you know the Lord and you've accepted him as your Lord and Savior, every single person is qualified to operate in every single one of these gifts. It's not for special people, special anointings. It's for him. It's for his glory to bring people here, so into the kingdom. So prophecy is one that, so we're to inspire all the spiritual gifts, but Paul says especially that you would prophesy, because prophecy edifies, exhorts, comforts. It's giving a word to people within the church, but also outside the church, kind of like the demonstration we were giving here today of people giving words to people and how it impacts them, okay? 1 Corinthians 14:39 says, "Therefore, brethren, desire earnestly to prophesy and do not forbid to speak with tongues." 1 Thessalonians 5:19 and 20, "Do not quench the Spirit, do not despise prophecies." Okay, so this is a spontaneous message that's inspired by the Holy Spirit that's given to a group here. It can be also given in a one-on-one situation, but it's actually a word from the Lord. And when it comes, whenever a prophetic word comes, with it comes the power to accomplish what that word is for. Okay? If it's there to bring exhortation, comfort, conviction, whatever it is, but when that word comes, inspired by the Holy Spirit, it also has the power to accomplish what is being said. It's going to release God's revelation in the present context. Let's look at Acts 13. It says, "Now in the church that was at Antioch, there were certain prophets and teachers, Barnabas, Simeon, who was called Niger, Lucius of Cyrene, Manaen, who had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch, and Saul. As they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Spirit said, 'Now separate to me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I have called them.'" That was a prophetic word. They were all together, they were praying, and they were fasting, and a word came forth. Listen, I want you to, the Holy Spirit said, "Separate Barnabas and Saul for the work that I have called them to." Again, that's a prophetic word. They can come in visions and dreams as well, kind of like what Megan was sharing. A prophetic word can come in visions and dreams. Our God is so good, because if you look at what we talked about in the story of Jesus's birth, remember God said Anna and Simeon to Mary and Joseph when they brought Jesus to the temple. And that's the beauty of our God, because here they're holding the Savior of the world. You know, they had these dreams and visions, angels had showed up and all this, but you know, there's part of you that were kind of scratching your head going, is this really happening? And God sent Anna and Simeon to them when they brought Jesus to the temple to confirm to them, listen, you did hear right. This is the Savior of the world. This is the Messiah. That's the power of a prophetic word that you might be carrying for somebody else, that they may be walking through some challenges in their life or believing things. And then a lot of times prophetic words should confirm something that you've already heard from God. Okay, it really shouldn't be completely new all the time. They usually should confirm something, a direction that you're already going or something that you're already sensing. So God sends, and not that it can't be a new thing, but a lot of times it'll confirm something. But you always want to take it to the Lord to make sure that he's in agreement with it. Okay, you don't just accept every prophecy. Anyway, but Anna and Simeon show up to tell them, listen, this is the Savior of the world. This is the Messiah. But if you remember, Simeon told Mary, listen, he's going to be a stumbling block to a lot of people, and a sword's going to pierce your own soul too, or your own heart. In other words, sometimes a prophetic word isn't always everything's going to be perfect. That's why you need comfort. Sometimes a prophetic word will tell you that there's some challenges coming, and I'm with you in the challenges. Because a lot of times we can think we messed up. When challenges start happening, we think, did we mess up? Did we make a wrong turn? But God's prophetic word saying, listen, you're going to go through some difficult times, is telling you, listen, I know that it's happening. Just because some difficult things are happening doesn't mean you've missed me. Remember, Jesus, before he went to the cross, told the disciples, listen, they're going to kick you out of the synagogues. They're going to kill you and say we're doing God's will. I'm telling you this now so that when it happens, you'll know that you can trust me. You'll know that I'm real. You know that I'm faithful. You know that I'm with you in the middle of it. So sometimes a prophetic word can tell you something that you might not really be like, oh, wow, I'm going to stand on that. But he's letting you know there's going to be challenges and you're going to get to the other side. And just because it happens doesn't mean that something's gone wrong. It's just a part of what you're walking through. What's important to understand is prophecy will never give new revelation in addition to Scripture. Okay, prophecy always has to be based on this. This is where people get into cults. This is what happened with Joseph Smith, right? He had an additional revelation to the Scripture and it became Mormons. Okay, so whenever someone's coming with additional revelation, you know, that's greater than this, you have to be really careful because everything should come right back to what is the Word of God say? Okay, what does the Word of God say? It's important for us to prophesy in a way that makes sense. A lot of times people will start using their Christianese terms and then people can't understand what you're saying. Remember, if you're in a public setting, you might have people there who don't know the Lord and you're bringing a word forth. You want to make sure you communicate it in a way that that people can receive it, that it's not complicated, that it's not using slang or different terms that we're familiar with, but somebody else might not be familiar with. So it's important that it's relatable to people. That's really important. 1 Corinthians 14:24 and 25, it says, but if all prophesy and an unbeliever or an uninformed person comes in, he is convinced by all, he is convicted by all. And thus the secrets of his heart are revealed, and so falling down on his face, he will worship God and report that God is truly among you. So if an unbeliever is here and a prophetic word comes forward, a lot of times, like I said, it'll come with a word of knowledge potentially, where there's a person in here, you know, who comes into the church service who doesn't even know the Lord, and then a word comes forth that is something that goes particularly for that person and pierces them in the heart about their situation or whatever, and all of a sudden they go on their face because they know God is in this place. And that's why it's important. Like if you get a word and you don't necessarily understand it, you need to say it anyway. Because there might be someone in this room who that's exactly what they need to hear. So it's really important to communicate with that. And if you miss it, you miss it. We were talking about that in the class we're doing in the morning, translating God, is that it's important to take risks because you'll never be able to get there without taking risks. You're going to make mistakes. You know, I told people, like, if you're going to go downhill skiing, you need to just be okay with falling on the snow, right? You'll never learn to ski if you're not willing to fall down in the snow. You're never going to learn how to prophesy. You're never going to learn how to operate in the gifts. You're never going to see anybody healed if you're not willing to step out and lay hands on the sick, give a word that isn't right, right? I mean, doctors practice all the time. We can practice. Like, it's okay for us to step out and just tell people, I'm learning. I'm just learning. Give me some feedback, right? So it's important to be willing to do that. When you can say to people, if you're going to give a person a word, you can say, this is what I feel like the Lord's saying. Does this make sense to you? So it's not a thus saith the Lord, right? And you're not even a part of here. But coming to them and saying, listen, this is what I'm sensing from the Lord. Does this make sense to you, right? And if they say, makes no sense at all, sorry, just trying, right? I'm practicing, I'm learning. But if they can say, well, yeah, I mean, I have a brother Bill or whatever, then you can start, well, okay, well, this is what I'm hearing. What do you think? So you just step out, you know, tentatively and let the Lord lead. I'll also tell you that the Lord very rarely, he almost never gives you everything when you step out. He just gives you enough to kind of get you to start. And then as you start ministering to somebody, all of a sudden it'll start coming more and more and more. So even if you don't feel like you have a lot, just step out with what little bit you have, and then all of a sudden it'll start growing, and he'll communicate more to you. Let's see here. And this is something that we grow in. It's good to keep a journal of what maybe prophetic words that you give. And it's also good to go back to people you've given words to and ask them if it was accurate. If you give somebody a word, right? Maybe in 6 months, go back and listen. Did that word make sense to you? I'm learning. I'm growing. Can you let me know? Did that word resonate with you? Have you seen it come to pass? Because then you can learn to sharpen your own skills. Well, I must have missed it here, but here I was right on. Okay, because we need to be accountable as well. The next gift is the gift of tongues. This is speech inspired by the Holy Spirit in a language the speaker does not understand. Now so you have your own personal prayer language that we receive when we get the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And that's for you and your personal relationship with the Lord. That's when you're praying, when you're worshiping. That's that language. But there's also the gift of tongues that comes for a public setting. And when that comes on you, a lot of times Giselle operates in this. And so that's when that comes on you, there's a power behind that for the body that it's coming to, for the gathering it's coming to, and it's a word from the Lord. Now, in conjunction with this, the other gift is interpretation of tongues. And so when someone has the gift of tongues, you always want to ask for the gift of interpretation as well, so that you can interpret what you're saying, okay? But anybody can interpret. Like, so Giselle can give a word, but somebody else could get the ability to interpret that. I want to point out that it's called interpretation of tongues, not translation of tongues. Because the tongue that's given, the word in tongues can be given, could be 2 minutes long. The interpretation could be 30 seconds. Okay? So it's not like, you know, somebody hears the message and is going through every little syllable and trying to figure out what it's saying. The gift of interpretation is catching the essence of what was communicated in the tongue and communicated to the church. Now, Paul talks about the fact that a tongue has to be interpreted or else it's kind of worthless, right? So it has to be interpreted. When it's interpreted, it really becomes a prophecy. And then you would ask, well, why does God not just prophesy? Because there's a power that comes in the bringing in of something in the tongues. There's a power that comes in behind it, again, to accomplish what God wants to accomplish. And so there's times when he wants to communicate it in that way. But again, the interpretation is necessary for it to have its full effect in the body. It says in 1 Corinthians 14:13 says, therefore, let him who speaks in a tongue pray that he may interpret, because it's really important for us to be able to interpret what has been said. Let's see here. Okay, so 1 Corinthians, so that's, okay, those are the gifts. 1 Corinthians 12, Paul says, if the whole body were an eye, where would be the hearing? If the whole were hearing, where would be the smelling? But now God has set the members, each one of them, in the body just as he pleased. And if they are all one member, where would the body be? And the eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of you, nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. So this is in the same chapter that Paul's talking about the gifts. And what is he saying? He's saying that, listen, each one of us is going to operate in gifts differently. And you don't compare yourself to somebody else, because we need each gift, and we need each gift in the unique way that it operates through you. And again, we can operate in all of the gifts. It's not like I'm going to pray for, I just want one. No, I want to operate in all of them. We want to operate in all of them. But it's allowing people to operate in the gifts in the way that they do, and honoring them and being okay with that. 1 Peter 4:10 says, as each one has received a gift, minister to one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. So we have these gifts, and it's our ability and our privilege to minister these gifts to one another. We come together as a church body, and we minister these gifts to one another, and then we minister them outside as well. So God has given you gifts, and you minister it in authenticity to who you are. Amen? I just want to end with a few things that, and it's going to take a couple minutes, but it's really important when all of these gifts are operating that there's parameters in all of this. And the first and foremost thing is that when you sense a gift operating through you, whether it's prophetic word or anything else, the first thing is it needs to be grounded in truth. It needs to be grounded here. Okay? Paul says in 1 Corinthians 12:1-3, he says, now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I do not want you to be ignorant. You know that you were Gentiles carried away to these dumb idols, however you were led. Therefore, I make known to you that no one speaking by the Spirit of God calls Jesus accursed, and no one can say that Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. We talked about this last week. What does the accursed mean? It means no one by the Spirit of God would say that Jesus is condemned, separate from God, and forever separate from God. Okay? No one would ever say that by the Spirit of God. So we need to know when we're operating in the gifts that we're coming from being based in Christ, based in Jesus Christ. You know, he says no one by this, he says, let's see here. No one can say that Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. Nobody can say he's supreme in authority except by the Holy Spirit. So the first and foremost thing is, are we grounded in Christ, or Jesus Christ? And if someone's operating in the gifts around us, are they based in Jesus Christ? Because signs and wonders can come from the demonic realm as well. I just want to know, where do you stand with Jesus? You know, I get irritated a lot of times with Christian movies because they won't mention Jesus' name. And that really upsets me. And I was watching one a couple days ago and they said Christ. Okay, well, that's a step closer. But the name Jesus is what offends. And I want to know where you stand with Jesus. And we can't make these movies and books to be palatable to everybody. No, I want to know, where do you stand when it comes to Jesus the Christ? And so when people are operating in gifts, you need to know, where do they stand when it comes to him? Okay, 1 John 4, 1 through 3. He says, "Beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits whether they are of God, because many false prophets have gone into the world. By this you know the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is of God. And every spirit that does not confess that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is not of God. And this is the spirit of the Antichrist, which you have heard was coming and is now already in the world." 2 John 1:7 says, "For many deceivers have gone out into the world who do not confess Jesus Christ coming in the flesh. This is a deceiver and an antichrist." Because Jesus coming into the flesh is what bought redemption for us. He had to come in a physical body. He had to walk the earth in a physical body. He had to be beaten. He had to die. He had to spill blood. He had to go to hell, and he had to raise again and has a glorified body, right? He had to do that. And if people aren't willing to confess that, it undermines the whole plan of redemption. So I want to know, where do you stand when it comes to Jesus the Christ? Okay? And that's important for the operation when we're going to, because many signs and wonders are going to be demonstrated in the end times. And we need to be able to discern what's truth. The next thing is love. When you're operating in the gifts, you know, Paul goes through 1 Corinthians 12 and talks about all the gifts. And then the very next thing he goes to is 1 Corinthians 13. And there was no separation when he wrote this. We make it a separate chapter. But he says, though I speak, he's talking about the gifts here. He's talking about the gifts. Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, I have become sounding brass or a clanging cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains, the gift of faith, but have not love, I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, I could give everything up for the poor. And though I give my body to be burned, I could be a martyr. I could be a martyr. But if I have not love, it profits me nothing. It profits me nothing. So when we're operating in the gifts, and again, we were talking about that in the Translating God class this morning, like the first and foremost thing is you need to know that you're coming from a place of love. Jesus always operated in love. Oh, even when he was correcting the religious, right? He was still operating from a place of love. We must be coming from a place of love. Now, that doesn't mean that every message that we give is going to be a feel-good message. Because sometimes we need to say things that people need to hear that might be a little bit challenging. But you need to ask the Lord how to communicate that. Okay? Because we need to make sure that we're coming from a place of love. Let's see. The next thing is it gives God glory. People really make mistakes because they start, we talked about this again this morning too, when people will start operating in the gifts and then they start doing it for their own glory instead of God's glory. And that's where people start going astray. So 1 Peter 4:10 and 11, Peter says, "If anyone speaks, let him speak as the oracles of God. If anyone ministers, let him do it as with the ability which God supplies, that in all things God may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom belong the glory and the dominion forever and ever. Amen." Let's see, Acts 3:12. This is when they had gone to the Gate Beautiful, And the man was the lame man that they prayed for. John and Peter prayed for him. And all of a sudden he can walk and he's running around. And so the people in the area are starting to give glory to Peter and John. And he says, Peter saw it. He responded to the people, men of Israel, why do you marvel at this? Or why look so intently at us as though by our own power or godliness we made this man walk? Acts 3:16, he says, and in his name, Jesus' name, through faith in his name, has made this man strong, whom you see and know. Yes, the faith which comes through him was given him this has given him this perfect soundness in the presence of you all. It's really important that when we're operating in the gifts or anything we're doing, ministering for Christ, that we're always pointing people to their own personal relationship with him. I'm giving you a word. I'm just the messenger. You need to connect to the one who actually had the message, okay? Otherwise, you can get caught up in getting your value from operating in a gift, and that's going to be a huge downfall. That's the enemy can come in then. So it's really important that when people see us, you know, people you heal you someone use God uses you to heal somebody, right? That was Jesus. Like, yes, he allowed me to do that, but that was Jesus. He loves you. He healed you. Now you need to have a relationship with him because I will fail you. I will fail you, but he won't. And so it's always when we operate in these things, if you give people a word of knowledge, a word of wisdom or whatever, always point them back to Jesus and you don't take the glory for yourself. You know, things need to be done in good order. 1 Corinthians 14:39-40, brethren, desire earnestly to prophesy and do not forget bid to speak with tongues. Let all things be done decently in order. So even when the Holy Spirit's moving, right, it's allowing him to do what he does. But I will say sometimes his way looks like chaos, and it's not. But that's why we need to be sensitive to the Spirit and allow him to do things the way he does. But it's being allowing the Holy Spirit to move as he wants to move. There should be good fruit from whatever is happening. Matthew 7:15-17 says, beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravenous wolves. You will know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? Even so, every good tree bears good fruit, but a bad tree bears bad fruit. A lot of times when there's been great revivals and a lot of miraculous things happening, people will go against it and criticize it. But you always want to look at what is the fruit. And if people, even though sometimes it can be messy, when God is moving, it can be very messy. It doesn't always look like we neat and orderly and tidied up like we'd like. But what I'm always going to look at is, are people more in love with Jesus? Are people laying their lives down for Jesus? Are marriages being restored? Are families being restored? Are people being delivered from things, right? It's not just, is there healing going on? Because like I said, the enemy can bring healing, but is Jesus being glorified? Are people loving Jesus as a result of what happened? And if Jesus is being glorified and Jesus is being lifted high and people are laying their lives down for him and they're coming out of the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of light, it's God. And it may look really messy, but that's up to God. He can take care of that. People are involved, it's going to be messy. Okay? But is it pointing to Jesus? Is it pointing to Jesus? That's what's important. And then just discernment of gifts. You know, you need to be the first discerner when a gift is operating. You need to be first, like, are you, if you feel like the Holy Spirit's moving on you, you need to first go to the Lord. Does this line up with Scripture, Lord? Is this your heart? Okay, so you question it first. But then when it's in a public setting like this, in a church setting or a public setting, like, for example, Pastor Randy and I, or Pastor Jeremy is here, like, we're responsible to make sure that what's happening is in order with what we believe God is doing. And so we become accountable for what's happening. So if something is happening and we feel like it's not the Lord, we're obligated to stop that. That's we're accountable before the Lord. Now, the good thing for you is if for some reason you believe you're doing something and being moved by the Lord and we for some reason stop it, the minute we stop it, we're accountable before God for you, not you. So if you felt like it was the Lord and we for some reason stopped you, okay, then you're off the hook. You're off the hook. Now we're the ones who stand before God and because if it was the Lord and we missed it, we're accountable before God. Okay? So that's the safety net that we have here in this place, okay? Because we have to make sure that everything is to the best of our ability, and we can mess up. We can make mistakes, okay? We can make mistakes, but God can take care of that for all of us, right? As long as we stay humble before him. And the last thing I just want to say is about just not squelching the Spirit. 1 Thessalonians 5:19 through 22 says, "Do not quench the Spirit, do not despise prophecies, test all things, hold fast what is good, abstain from every form of evil." Okay? 1 Corinthians 14:39-40, "Therefore, brethren, desire earnestly to prophesy, and do not forbid to speak with tongues." You know, a lot of churches don't allow the gifts to operate because it can get really messy. And because it can get messy, because people can make mistakes, because you can correct things and people get offended, and that becomes a problem as well. But we've chosen to allow the gifts to operate because that's really important to us, to Pastor Rennie and I. We want that. We really, oh, I can feel the Holy Spirit, all of this. We want all of you to be able to operate in the gifts as God leads you. And we recognize that by doing that, it can get messy sometimes. And you're going to make mistakes, we're going to make mistakes. But if we don't allow that to happen, we will never accomplish what God wants to do in this church. Okay? So we have decided that even if it's risky, and even though people might get offended, and even though we might make mistakes, we're willing to do that because you're worth it, and certainly God's worth it. Okay? You are more powerful than you realize. All of us are more powerful than we realize. Oh, you are loaded. You are loaded with the dunamis power of God to extend his kingdom on this earth. And there has to be a place where you can safely practice that and get on your training wheels and fall over and get back up and all of that stuff. But that's what we do together. That's what we do together. That's why, you know, when we first started this church in our home, we did like all the other churches do, that we've been in anyway. You know, you do your worship, and you don't do announcements in the beginning because everyone's not here. So you wait until after worship, when after worship pretty much everybody's shown up, and then you do the announcements so everybody can hear. And so we would do this beautiful worship, and then someone would get up and say, you know, we're having a meeting next Sunday or whatever, and it would just be like you could feel the Spirit go flop. And I just went to Randy, and I'm like, we can't do that. Like, we have this beautiful presence after worship, right? And like, just like we did today, we need to enter into that. We need to allow that to do what it wants to do, okay? And so we do announcements at the beginning for those who are here, and then we do like a mini version at the end of the service. But we're going to have this time to allow the Holy Spirit to move. And if it means we never get to the pulpit to preach the message, that's so fine with us, right? Because we just want him to do what he does. And that time is also a time for you to practice. It's a time when you feel like the Lord's giving you a word, like to stand up and give a word, or you feel like you're supposed to pray for somebody or whatever, to do those things, to operate in those gifts, because this is what we are all called to. Now, it has to come from your own personal relationship with Jesus. We don't strive to do the gifts to look good. We don't strive to do the gifts because it's what we're supposed to do. No, we have a beautiful, intimate relationship with Jesus. And because we do, we have his heart for people. And therefore, the gifts operate. Jesus was moved by compassion. Okay? And because we each have a personal relationship with him, we want to touch the world in the way he's touched us to demonstrate who he is. Okay? So again, it's not to be a good Christian. Earn points with God. You've earned already on the points, all the points you need from God. It's just for you to operate in who he's created you to be. And so we're willing to take that risk. Hopefully you're willing to take that risk with us, to allow the Spirit to flow, to step out, to learn how to operate in the Spirit, and to just grow together. Because this is just important. It's really important for us to do what he's called us to. Amen? Amen. Amen. Let me pray. So Lord, we just thank you for your presence here. I thank you for these people who are willing to go a little bit long today because of your presence here, Lord. We just want you to do, Holy Spirit, just have your way. Break our walls down, Lord. Break our walls down so that we can fully manifest you in all the ways that you want to. Lord, thank you that this week we'll be sensitive to your spirit and allow you to operate us. We'll practice allowing you to operate through us in the way that you want to do that, Lord, because we're here for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.